This is China Business Cast, your guide to doing business in the Wild Wild East. We're here to get detailed and get personal with experienced entrepreneurs making things happen in China. If you want to learn from on-the-ground accounts of how business actually gets done, this is the program for you. Hello and welcome to China Business Cast. I'm your host, JP. This week, we got a very interesting topic for the show. We're talking about the wine market in China. Usually, people get very excited when we talk about the wine market here because of the massive potential. However, today we talk about some of the realities of the market in China and also some inconvenient truths. So without further ado, let's get to the interview. Today's guest, Fong Yi Walker, is the founder of Dragon Phoenix Wine Consulting, a company that offers consultancy, wine tasting, wine training, and education services. Established in 2007, the company offers wine education in China in both English and Chinese. In addition, the company also assists wineries and trade bodies, like the Wines of Australia, with promotion in China and helps wineries understand the Chinese market. Today, we're here to discuss the rapidly developing wine market in China and the opportunities that exist there. Welcome to the show, Fong Yi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, this is the China Business Cast, so we tend to skew towards the business side of things. So I have three very specific goals for today. So the first goal is to, you know, leverage your experience and get a high-level understanding of the wine market in China. So the second goal is to talk about some of the developments and changes over the past few years that you've seen in this rapidly developing industry of wine in China. And finally, we can discuss some of the challenges and misconceptions and opportunities in the wine business. How does that sound to you?
That sounds very good. Okay, so...
Okay, before we get into the heavy business stuff, let's take a little bit of time to get some background. Can you give us a brief background about you and your China story?
Okay, I'll try and make it brief. It's a bit complicated, but basically I was at Cambridge doing my PhD in Chinese ancient literature. And when I say ancient, it's pretty old. I was studying sort of 3,000-year-old poetry. At the same time, my now husband, then boyfriend, introduced me to the Wine Tasting Society of Cambridge. Well, after a few years, I realized that teaching wine was far more exciting than teaching classical poetry. And it also probably offered more job opportunities. And then at the same time, in 2006, my husband got an offer to work at Tsinghua University in languages and literature department as an English professor. So I thought, perfect opportunity. We could go over, we had the visas, and then I could see about opening perhaps a wine school and wine consultancy firm, and it looked successful. So that was what happened. We came over in 07 and I started the business the first year.
Oh, fantastic. So you came to China and you immediately started the business. Is that... the vision that you had when you set out, is that pretty much what the business still does today?
Yes, it's pretty much. Although, having said that, vision sounds a very specific word. I had a sort of more hazy image than a vision. I just thought I wanted to do something with wine. I enjoy teaching about wine. I enjoy talking about wine, but I didn't want to sell wine. Mm-hmm. So when we started our company here, you know, you have to register your scope with the government. And so I wanted to pick a fairly sort of wide scope. So we did business, what was it? Wine consulting, wine advice. And then we did something called wine technical training. Mm-hmm. So because, of course, we couldn't say education, that being a government remit. So right. We got around it by going for the technical training aspect. Mm-hmm. And that was a wide enough scope to allow us to do things that we do now, from anything from translating wine labels to doing market visits to doing a lot of teaching. So it sort of covers it all.
Okay. Yeah. Can you take a little bit of time to tell us a bit more about what your company does? I know you do just tastings, but also you have specific classes and courses, right?
Yes, well, we do basically nearly anything to do with wine that doesn't involve selling it directly. So we do wine tasting classes and courses. We do international certification in wine, which is the WSET system run out of London. We also help arrange wine events. So, for instance, we do wine dinners. I'll talk at a wine dinner. We also help trade bodies organize tastings here. So, you know, we've got about, say, 25 wineries all coming from New Zealand, and they want to present their wines to the movers and shakers in Beijing. So we help them organize their little fair, and we make sure the right people attend. And I guess beyond that, we also help with a few marketing things. For instance, if you want to have your label translated in a very specific way, or we can provide advice on markets to enter with your wine, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. So knowing that you've been in the wine industry in China since 2007, you must have seen, you know, quite a bit of development in the Chinese wine market. Can you give us overall, just a big broad brushstrokes of the wine market in China, you know, consumption and things like that, and how that's been for the, how that's sort of progressed over the last couple of years?
I think that the first thing to say is that everyone gets very excited when they talk about China markets. The wine market here is exciting, but it's not quite as huge as people think it is. In 2007, when we came, it was very, very underdeveloped. And I think the major change we've seen from 2007 to 2013 is diversity. It's been a much more diverse market. I can find a much bigger range of wines here. I also find more professionalism in that the people knowing, selling the wines actually know a little bit about them. And there's a lot more competition because the amount of imported wine is increasing and increasing. However, the market is not necessarily increasing to match that. I think another thing that's been interesting is when we first started our business, you know, 90% of the market was essentially domestic produced, very low end wine. And that's been shifting. I would say now that's down to 80, some would say even lower. And imported wine is rising. Of course, imported wine would be close to half of the value of wine sold in China.
Right.
So it's getting diverse, more diverse, it's getting bigger. However, it's not increasing at the rate of what it was. You know, back in 2010, you know, there was all these figures bandied around like 45% increase in growth. You know, I mean, for instance, you know, in 2010, there was an increase of about 50% over the last, you know, year.
What kind of numbers are we talking about in terms of absolutes, and maybe how it compares to other countries, just as a baseline for people to have a sense?
Oh, gosh, other countries. Well, for instance, let's take the UK, because I'm pretty familiar with that.
Okay.
When we first came, the entire Chinese market for imported wine was not even equal to the British import market for champagne alone.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it was very, very, very low. So when we've got, when we look at 2010, we've got a little bit more. We've got about 16 million cases. Now, a case would be 12 bottles of wine, in case people don't know. So you've got 16 million cases imported in 2010. And then in 11, you've got a little bit more of 26 million cases. Now, that's a big jump, and people got terribly, terribly excited. But if you look at 2012, it only increased by 3 million.
Oh.
So it's still less than 30 million cases. So in other words, it's tapered off quite a bit from those crazy days.
And you mentioned that 80% in terms of 80 or 90% in terms of volume is still domestic wine. That's actually quite surprising.
I think now it's less. It's closer to now it's 80% domestic wine. I think people don't realize the amount of low cost budget Chinese wine that's drunk here. You know, it's not an expensive price point. It's often the only wine available in Chinese supermarkets as opposed to outlets like Carrefour and Walmart and Metro.
Are we talking about the infamous Great Wall? Is that one of the...
Yes, Great Wall, Dynasty, all of those big ones, you know, very much control the market here. They sell a lot, Great Wall in particular.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And Changyu, you know, or Jiangyu.
Oh, that's... I'm not familiar with that one. I've seen my share of Great Wall, though.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't forget that these are very, very big companies and they are selling a lot of wine. It's not, you know, very sophisticated wine, but it is wine. However, what I think people have to understand who don't come from China is that the market for domestic wine, especially the low end, is completely different from the market for imported wine. They bear no resemblance to each other.
Mm-hmm, like the people who drink them.
That drink it, the situation in which they're drunk under, everything. Everything is different.
Understood. Okay, so given that you probably work with the imported side of the wine market more, is that true? Maybe we can focus a bit more on that.
It's quite hard to persuade any of my students to actually try Chinese wine. And there are some good wines produced here. And, you know, for instance, in one of my classes, I use two Chinese Chardonnays. And no one ever guesses they're from China because they're well-made international standard wines. But most of the wine I do use, I would say 99.9% of it, is very much imported wine.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think in 2012 the growth hasn't been as strong as 2011? And how's 2013 looking so far?
Well, 2013 is contracting even more on 2012's growth.
Oh, wow.
And actually, I don't think this is bad. I think now we see a much more realistic growth in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people who are the target market for drinking imported wine, especially for the more interesting imported wines, I'm not talking about Lafite or very cheap bottom end wines.
Right.
Those people were not growing at that speed, really. And the trouble is that in 2009 and 2010 and 2011, there were tons of people who wanted to get into wine because they viewed it as sexy, sophisticated, et cetera, et cetera. And they didn't actually realize that wine is a bloody difficult thing to sell. Mm-hmm. You know, the profit margins on wine are actually pretty small. And it's also an easily perishable product. It requires special transport conditions. It's not easy to sell. It's something that most people, they look at a bottle of wine, they don't even know what flavor it will be or whether it will suit them. So I think the contraction is just reflecting the reality.
Right. Okay. What you mentioned about, you know, an overabundance of supply is definitely something that I just feel when I talk to people. You know, a lot of the people I talk to, quite a few of them are in wine, especially in Shenzhen. It's, you know, a trading city.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they mentioned as well the on the ground difficulties of selling it is very real. Cute. You know, there are so many competitors, and unless you have something really special and really unique, the buyers aren't able to differentiate between, you know, all of these different.
Exactly. And the buyers don't have the knowledge.
Right.
They don't have the knowledge, they don't have the confidence, and they don't have the wine drinking that, you know, a lot of people in the West grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly doesn't impinge on your everyday life. I mean, for instance, in Canada, if you go out to a restaurant, you're generally always offered a wine list.
Right.
There's generally someone in the restaurant who may not be an expert, but knows his or her way around Chardonnay versus Cabernet Sauvignon. Whereas in China, you know, most Chinese restaurants don't have a wine list at all. Or if they do, the people serving you certainly don't know anything about it.
Right.
So it's not become yet a daily part of life for 99.99999% of the people.
Mm-hmm. That raises my curiosity then, in terms of the people that you do see who are very enthusiastic about wine and, you know, taking classes and learning more about it. What would you say is the typical customer profile?
So keep in mind that my classes still very much are trade dominated. I would say at least 60% trade, but we are getting more and more private people. And it's very interesting because the private, the wine lovers often know more and have more wine experience than the people in the trade. And they've just fallen in love with wine as a beverage. A lot of them are taking it, particularly the high-level courses, which is what I teach more of. Mm-hmm. Those students who are enough to commit to 6 days of classes, serious discussion about wine, they are really passionate people. I mean, I really see in them the future of the wine market in China. On the other hand, the private customers we see taking the lower level are really interesting as well. They tend to be sort of what I would call junior or senior white collar management. Mm-hmm. And some of them are taking it to actually improve their job chances. You know, a little bit of wine knowledge is seen as getting very good kudos in the workplace.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's a very interesting phenomenon.
Interesting. So with reflecting on the changes that's happened over the past few years, where do you see the wine market going in the next few years in China for the imported wine market? And also maybe you can comment a bit more about the domestic market as well, because you said that they are starting to develop some international quality wines.
Well, I hope that the wine market will become more realistic. I'm not looking for super high growth. I mean, I'm not selling wine. Right. What I would like to see is more and more Chinese people taking up wine as an everyday beverage, as something you enjoy with your home meal or your restaurant meal, according to situation, with something that is part of life. And I think that will provide sustainable growth rather than explosive growth. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing for domestic. I think domestic, if we can get some more international standards of wine out on the market, I think more people will incorporate wine into their everyday life. I mean, for instance, I just tasted a beautiful wine from Great Wall. It was a rosé, little bit sparkling. It was off dry. It was very easy to drink. I mean, that for me is a perfect wine to serve a lot of people who don't necessarily like the taste of wine very much. You know, and there's a lot of people who don't like the taste of wine.
I guess there is a warming up period, right?
Yes. I think there's a period where we've gone past the wine, oh, it's fashionable, oh, it's trendy, I'm going to only drink it in 5-star French restaurants, and or it's going to be part of a banquet, you know. Mm-hmm. I think we've got to move to the part where, well, wine is a really nice drink that we can have as part of our life. Because if we don't move from the luxury into the more everyday, let's face it, the wine market's really not going to grow. It's going to be a bit like if you look at the Japanese market, there are parallels. You know, the Japanese market went crazy in the sort of 80s. But since then, it's not really developed in a very interesting way. It's still mainly high-end Burgundy and posh champagne, and the middle tier of wines, the wines that I would buy, the wines that I find the most interesting, haven't really taken off. So I think that I would hope for China to become a more interesting, a more diverse, and a more accepting market of different wine styles. I mean, this is all very hopeful, but this is what I live in hope of.
Okay. So, you know, understanding the challenges and the realities of the market that we talked about here, what's your opinion in terms of what are some of the areas where there's a real opportunity? You know, where in the market are people being underserved?
Oh, I do think it's very difficult to say that, because on the import side, we're definitely being overserved.
Right.
There are people coming in thinking they can sell their wine. You know, and I find wines that I love and I go, oh my God, I can't believe you can get this wine in China. And then I go, who on earth is buying this wine in China? And then I contact the importer and I said, oh, I'm really pleased you're bringing XYZ in. And I said, but who are you selling it to? And they go, well, it's very difficult. And I'm like going, yeah. So I think the trouble is that the market is being overserved in terms of wine being brought in and diversity of wine. Mm-hmm. What I think is being underserved in is promotion of wine and also wine education. I think we need a lot more knowledge passed on to the consumer so that the consumer can buy things not based on labels, but based on sort of more knowledge of the wine. So instead of getting people just going for the very boring top-end wines or the very cheap low-end wines, that they go for something that expresses their own preference. You know, it just takes a bit of confidence. So we need more people doing work like that.
Right. I think part of the issue is also that personally, I find between the West and the East and China specifically, is that the level of trust for the merchant is not nearly as high, right? So
yes.
If people don't understand the wine and they don't have that expert knowledge, they don't really trust going into a store and buying something that's mid-range, because it could easily be something that's in the low range that they've just marked up, you know, 500%.
Mm-hmm. We do have that problem with wines here. It gets me very, very angry. I think the other problem is that, to be honest, the people selling the wine don't know a lot about it either.
Right.
Which is a very bad situation. It's kind of like, you know how you see a lot of foreigners in China who have maybe even been living here for a few years, mm-hmm. and they still can't understand the Chinese menu system.
Right.
And so every time they go, they always order the gongbao ji ding and the tieban nuro.
Yes.
And they do all of these things because they're safe. They're recognized. It might not necessarily be what they want to eat every day.
Right.
But because you're handed a menu that may all be in Chinese, it may have foods that you've never heard of that you're scared to order.
Right.
So there is an element of little bit of that, I think, also playing into it. Mm-hmm. That it's a little bit, you know, wine's terribly intimidating, I think. I hate it. I hate the way people make such a deal out of it. And they're very, very snobby, or they're trying to outdo each other with knowledge. I mean, it's blooming ridiculous. Wine is a drink, and it's an interesting drink. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why it has to become layered in this snobbery and luxury sort of, you know, facade.
Right. And I guess that's where there is an opportunity in the market as well. I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk, right? He's quite well known for his online and social media presence. Like, he's kind of like very down-to-earth guy. And he did a lot of videos talking about wine in a very casual, day-to-day, guy-next-door kind of way. And that appealed to a lot of people. So I'm wondering if, you know, something similar would do very well in China as well.
I do think so. The trouble is that most people here in the wine trade are trading in on all of the mystique and luxury and et cetera, et cetera. You know, most so-called wine experts here are more concerned with getting a glamorous photo with a glass of wine in a ball gown or an evening mm-hmm. suit in a five-star hotel. So it's a problem with image. There's no one really doing much more regular, you know, consumer outreach.
Interesting. Well, that sounds like a business opportunity to me.
There we go. Go in on the fun end rather than anything else.
Right. And I think it will be way more fun to do as a business, you know, instead of being all stuck up and,
yeah, exactly.
You know, stuffed into a tuxedo all the time. Exactly. Okay.
Yes, I know. It's like I keep on saying I will never get ahead in wine here because I'm not very good with ball gowns.
Okay. So to wrap up the discussion around wine, was there anything specific that surprised you a lot in your years in the wine business in China? Anything that you never expected to encounter when you started the business?
I think the biggest surprise for me was the huge difference between the market here and the markets I was used to, you know, in Canada, in the UK, in other places that I've lived. What really surprised me is generally people who are into wine in those sort of markets, they buy and sell and they work in wine stores because they actually really like wine. They're interested by it. They're passionate about it. The biggest surprise, and it was a shock to me, was to find out how many people in China were working in wine companies who actually didn't particularly like the stuff. And I think that's a lot of ways is because, you know, if you work in the wine market in England or the UK or Canada, your payment rate is actually very, very low. It's a kind of job that you take for the exposure to fine wine and the nice life rather than the money. Whereas wine is actually just regarded as another sales job here. And it's very weird for me, and it's a big surprise for me, and I think it's a big challenge to developing a wine market here, because you need people who are passionate about the thing. Because after all, selling wine's not like selling cars. You show anyone an A-class Mercedes and an S-class Mercedes, they immediately understand the difference in those cars. You know, they understand why one is a lot more expensive than the other. Mm-hmm. You show someone a bottle of Grange and a bottle of, I don't know, something like a Gallo Shiraz, there's not really difference, and yet one is, you know, 400, well, not 400,000, I always exaggerate, but one would be about, oh gosh, you know, 200, 300 times the price of the other. And that is a very weird situation to be in for a consumer product, and it requires a lot of passion, I think, about your subject. And what surprises me here is the amount of people in wine who are not passionate about it.
I see. Well, I can definitely sense your passion about wine from just talking to you. And I hope through your classes, you will inspire a new generation of people who are passionate.
Yeah. I mean, what does cheer me up is to, and what surprises me too, is the amount of passion that some amateurs or some people in trade get into. I mean, I have these two students in Shanghai who work in the trade, and they are complete wine manic nuts. They're hysterical. They're always Weixin. They're always WeChatting me with pictures of bottles they've drunk. And they're very excited to ask me questions. So, you know, that is a wonderful surprise.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like there's hope for the future of the wine market in China still.
Yes.
Okay, so we're coming up to the end of the interview. And before we hang up, can you tell us a little bit more about what you're currently working on and excited about?
Well, what we're currently working on that really, really excites me is we're trying to develop the WSET Level 4, the diploma class in wine here in China. This is quite a serious undertaking. It involves 2 years of study and quite a few exams, 7-8 exams. It's basically the essential high-level qualification in wine, and it's quite internationally recognized. So I am working currently with WSET to bring this qualification as a taught qualification to China, which is quite exciting, but involves vast amounts of work.
Okay, I see. Fantastic. So with that, let's leave the audience with one way where they can maybe find you online or connect with you, and thank you for the information that you've shared today.
Okay, yeah. The best way to get in touch with me is definitely by email. I tend to be best on that. So my email is fongyi@dpwc.co. You can also try looking for me on Skype or on Weixin, which is WeChat, I believe, in English. I'm always easy to find because I am the only Fongyi Walker in the entire world, as I found out.
That is a unique name for sure. And actually, I think listeners should also check out the Dragon Phoenix Wine Consulting Company's website. I think it's quite a nice website. Can you give the website address as well?
Yes, it is just easy. It's dpwc.co.
All right. Thank you very much for your time today, Fongyi. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope you enjoy some wine.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode of China Business Cast. Head over to ChinaBusinessCast.com and enter your email to get on the list. I'll announce guests before I interview them, and you'll get a chance to submit your question for the show. Till next time, thank you for listening.